mentioned
that she would like to talk about the elements and the body door as being difficult.
Yes. This morning I heard on the radio about all the elements, 18 elements, and different doorways. And often I think that the eye door is real difficult because we see people and things. But I realized too, the body door is really difficult because it is all over the body. And before we know, we take the body as a whole, or we try to catch the body door at this point or that point, and then we are wrong again, absolutely wrong. It's the self who tries.
What about, don't think about doorways at all, just hardness.
Yes.
No idea about what door it is.
Hardness here, hardness there.
Yeah. Only one at a time.
That is a difficult point, one at a time.
Because here is one, yes. Only one, not over there.
We take the body so much as a whole.
We think about it, but not attend to the characteristic which is of self.
Yeah.
Hardness cannot be self.
No.
But it's hard to understand it. It's just an element, a moment of samsara succeeds from other moments.
Yes.
I mentioned when we were discussing it because
people read about how there's body sense all over the body, which is true, but then they have an idea of trying to experience hardness in different places or something, but it's actually just thinking about something and my body and myself. It's not just hardness that is experienced at that moment, because it's an idea of place in the body at the moment of, if there is a moment of awareness of hardness, no thought of location or where it is.
Before we know, it's thinking again. I realize that it's thinking instead of thinking of a story. Thinking of a story of the body, but not a characteristic of a reality now.
At that moment, it's I who am trying. So it's not the conditioned awareness from understanding until it shows its anotherness. It cannot be anyone because it has been conditioned already.
You were saying why body door and not just hardness, because in daily life we don't think about body door, we just hardness.
That's why we don't have to think about it at all. Just attend to the characteristic, and it's not I who's trying, but it's the moment of conditioned awareness. Suddenly, beyond control, anything, everything is beyond control because it's conditioned already. Who can control any moment right now?
So it's attending to something that is appearing.
Is there already?
And yes, so we don't have to think about which doorway or even what reality. It's whatever is appearing. So if it's hardness appearing, of course it must be the body door, but that's thinking rather than directly attending to the reality. So in that sense, it can't be said that one doorway is more or less difficult than another. If hardness doesn't appear, then it can't be attended to. If it does appear, it could be the object of wise attention.
And can we say that it's because there's ignorance and ignorance of all doorways, therefore no choosing which doorway? I mean, ignorance arises with reference to all doorways.
Of course, that's right. But it helps to hear about the different doorways, because if we don't hear about them and their objects, then there wouldn't be the conditions to attend to the different realities. And if we don't hear about it often, then we forget what we've heard about it before.
Do we have to try to know anything?
No.
Yeah. It's already experienced all the time.
There's always something there to be known, so it's a matter of it being the object of wise attention.
We tend to find eye door really difficult because we see people all the time and things all the time. We talked about it a long time, but it's still a difficult subject. Even we hear it a lot. We hear it all the time.
More than other sense though, person. Like hardness, see, at moment of seeing this hardness, but who knows about hardness? Because seeing doesn't seem like it falls away at all.
Right, but and just because there's a lot of thinking about what's seen, does it make it harder than other
the same, realities? Each door, same followed word. By thinking.
So it's not one door is more hard than another door?
I think that it depends on understanding. If there's understanding clear enough, that it's only that which is seen, which is not heard. See, only that. Some words can be the point of considering. It's seen, but it's not heard. See, now. Only a reality different from the other doorway, hardness, softness. A little bit at a time to get the understanding from what is heard. That which is not heard is appearing at moment of seeing. Can there be a moment of understanding, attachment at that very moment? See, it's there almost all the time. Attachment to trying to find out.
So there's attachment to the what is experienced, attachment to the experiencing, and attachment to wanting to know the right. Experiencing and what is experienced.
Space between the kalapa. Yeah. Each doorway.
Why do you say space between galapas? Because attachment is anama and galapas are rupa.
It arises as often as there is always space.
It's as pervasive as space between the galapas.
Just as there is space between each galapa, so attachment arises, not as non-stop like now.
Kamasava, Pavasava, Titasava, Avichasava.
All the asavas.
Yeah. Nina, you also mentioned on the radio you were listening to a discussion about understanding of dukkha and vipassana jnana. And I was wondering, was it talking about samasana, vipassana jnana, or in particular? Yes.
On the radio program, you give us many, many details on vipassana jnana. And then I realized there's so much, so many details that we don't know about the amount of ignorance, really.
Just like now, that there is no precise and clear comprehension of whatever appears.
And you talked about also dukkha and the real meaning, and I found that very helpful because I'm inclined to not to think much about the falling away and the disadvantages of falling away, that it never returns. I forget about that.
That's why we listen again and again and again about the truth, absolute truth.
Nina, can you say a little more about ignorance in the context of the vipassana jnanas? There's so much ignorance.
As I've explained, the different... also the Pali terms, but not just the names, of course, but the meaning of all the different ones in the Patisambhida Magga. So I got a bit lost, you know, in all the details.
thinking about ignorance as a reality which arises in the moment, to not know, to be blind to the what appears. So can we talk about ignorance, about certain theories, about something that which is never experienced? Can we talk about ignorance of something that has never been experienced?
No, I just realized, oh, so much to learn, and we never know. And the Buddha taught in detail to those with weak panya, and those who don't need details have strong panya, they can realize the truth immediately.
Dukkha, for example, people think that they can understand what is meant by dukkha, but if there's not very clear understanding of reality that appears now, such as hardness with no idea of body sense or body part,
yes,
and no deeper understanding is developed which understands the arising and falling away of that hardness as anatta, nothing can be known about dukkha in the ultimate sense. So that's why it's only the higher vipassana jnana that really understands the nature of dukkha, of conditioned reality, and why there has to be the understanding of dhammas as anatta first.
So that means a long way.
Is there is dukkha now? Is there dukkha now? See? We just keep on talking about it. See, is dukkha, hearing is dukkha, but it's not that and the developed understanding which can realize what we talk about, dukkha, the arising and falling away of realities.
But even intellectually we can understand that there is dukkha now, because if there's no dukkha, there's no life.
That's why viriya follow, khanti follow, to understand whatever appears now, little by little. Follow the teachings of the right understanding.
It's because of rise and fall that there is one citta after another. It's because of rise and fall that there is one citta, there's experience of any object, and that's dukkha.
When we were at the end of the stay in Vietnam, and you weren't with us, but you asked online about different aspects of khanti, and Jan is just mentioning one about, she just said, viriya follows, khanti follows when it's the right teaching. So this is the aspect of khanti is viriya, is right effort. And then I think we talked a bit about khanti jnana, referring to panya. So when you were mentioning now about viriya follows, khanti follows, and when we talk about khanti jnana, referring to panya, can you say a little about the distinction?
All jnanas must be panya, accompanied by khanti and other parami.
So when it refers to khanti jnana, it's just referring to vipassana jnana
only,
accompanied by khanti. So this is like you mentioned about viriya follows, khanti follows the same.
To understand the arising and falling of any reality which is there, little by little. It's the gradual development of understanding. So patience, not to have the self trying to do anything, to really understand it, even now, so natural, that if it's not nama rupa pricheti jnana, the first jnana yet, one cannot understand what's meant by khanti jnana, because the more there is an understanding of Dhamma, the more one sees the subtlety the depth of reality which is there. It's like what is there is covered by so thick akusa, greater than the universal, see, and the depth of the ocean from eons and eons ago. So by then, the idea of self begins to eliminate, but it takes kanti so much to be as natural of everything now by conditions, because usually there is the viriya for developing understanding with other parami, cetasika, to just understand the characteristic of nama, which is different from rupa, quite different. The nama and rupa can be separated like in the rupajana, see? But here and now, in the five khandas world, they arise together. That's why, in order to really comprehend that which experience, no materiality with it at all, not heart, no smell, no shape, just arise in darkness and experience. This is the moment when reality reveals to Panya to understand it as not self. So the Anatta Sanya begins then. No matter now we talk about the Anatta Sanya, but it's not the Anatta Sanya as long as hearing is not that which hears yet, or seeing is not that which sees yet. See, so each vipassana jnana needs more and more understanding, sharper, greater, quicker, rapid, so rapidly. So kanti jnana is moment from of sammasana jnana to uttayapaya jnana, not nama rupa pricheta jnana nor the paccayaparikaya jnana. Only from sammasana jnana it takes time to get or to attain the arising and falling away, which is uttayapaya jnana. And from uttayapaya jnana to the name, no, sammasana jnana, before the anuloma jnana, it is the sankharupekha jnana. See, from uttayapaya jnana to sankharupekha jnana, greater, because it's almost nearly to become completely detached, but it's still there, see? And that is the, not the first, but the second one, from uttayapaya jnana to sankhara jnana. It's not so strong enough, but it's stronger than the first one. And the last one, from sankharupekha jnana to anuloma jnana. The end.
But Kali, it must start from the beginning, because even intellectualists and understanding
it requires
kanti. It takes
kanti, bārami.
Kanti, jnana, kanti jnana.
Kanti jnana too. It's, there are three stages of kanti jnana. From sammasana jnana to uttayapaya jnana, the first, and from uttayapaya jnana to sankharupekha jnana, second, and sankharupekha jnana to anuloma jnana, which is the process of enlightenment.
I have a question, Achan. You just mentioned about the difference between the arupa jnana and arupa plane and the five khandhas plane. That in the five khandhas plane, it requires rupa. I was listening to one of your tapes in Thai, and you talked. I'm not going to. The question at that time is different from now. I'm just repeating what I had thought that time. But I was wondering about the word asai. You used the word the namas asai, rup.
Aspatiya. Like nisaya patiya. Nisaya patiya.
Nisaya patiya.
Yeah.
Can you say a little more what it means for.
Can citta arise without conditions? So what conditions it asai depend on. For example, we learned about the aramana paccaya, see? We can repeat whatever citta experiences, it is a aramana. Because if there can be the understanding that without that which is seen now, can seeing arise, only then, patriya, one patriya. But we forget, without that which appears, there will never be seeing at all.
No, why I ask it, because it seems if we talk about chittas and chetasikas arising together, it's easier to understand than chitta must arise with a base, with a rupa. It seems a bit very far away. But at that moment when I heard it, it sort of made some significance that there is a big difference. And maybe if I ask you, there can be a better understanding about rupas.
Yeah, in this realm, the base has to be the support by way of nisya pachya for that chitta. Seeing has to have eye sense
is
as condition.
What I'm hearing and what I'm thinking is just like theory, you know. I still don't understand in the same way that I might understand that chitta must arise with chetasikas.
What about if someone is completely blind, then visible object doesn't impinge on eye sense, so no seeing occurs. So seeing depends on eye sense
right.
to arise. If someone's completely deaf, sound doesn't impinge
right,
on
right. One
eye
of
sense.
The ways I can have little more understanding is to distinguish between the sense base and other rupas, that these are special rupas conditioned by karma. So eye sense is a special rupa. So in that...
Siapachya, these particular rupas that are referred to as the rupas which condition citta at those moments.
I think that all the words are only words when they do not appear as any reality. For example, now we talk about the aramanapachaya. It sounds so very simple because we are used to have aramana appear all day. But thinking about moment when there's nothing at all arise while one is fast asleep, and then how come there must be something which condition that particular object, because objects are different. So it needs considering at that very moment that from nothing then what appears must be conditioned little by little, studying that which appears, but it's not in anyone's control. It depends on understanding whether it has reached that stage from hearing on and on. It can condition such moment of seeing and understanding that is conditioned.
And we can see from that the importance of kanti, because there's so much ignorance.
And adhidhana, resolution too?
Can you say a little about adhidhana?
Resolution
adhidhana.
To follow the truth, to understand it, because it can be the regular experience. Because it's now see, so what about it? It arises, it falls away.
And how is resolution?
To know the truth. There's ways to know, to understand little by little.
What is the reality of resolution?
Sopana Chetasika?
Yes, as yeah. a Chetasika.
What about Sopana Chetasika?
Sopana?
Yeah.
But when someone can have resolution to revenge, it can be, it's certainly akusala.
What
so
about resolution jetasika, if you would like to call it?
That's why I was asking, because I don't think that's the meaning of resolution. I mean, if I try to understand resolution by that particular idea, resolution to revenge, or resolution to sit under the tree.
It's not
that's
lopa.
Not resolution. That's
it's not lopa. It's not dosa. It's not moha. It's not or unwholesome realities.
And even when we're not thinking about doing anything, or but at the moment of
what
understanding,
about panya, resolute. Does it function? Panya.
Right. So is it...
to know that it can be directly experienced. So it conditioned Kanti and all other baramis. Can you not understand him when you do not understand resolution?
Again, Acham?
Can you not understanding reality when you do not understand resolution? You can understand, yeah. So it depends on what about Kanti and Viriya and resolution and Panya and other Satya, see? They're all there together. Satya Parami too.
Yeah, for example, such I can understand to some extent, because to come back to the present moment.
What about all the teachings of all the words of the teachings? Do you have to find out about Chetasika?
Not Chetasika, but actually the meaning of the word, because it's mentioned, it's taught, resolution is taught. I'm not trying to
not
find out which
discouraged.
Chetasika. Not being discouraged.
So, can it refer to at least some kind of strength of the citta at that moment, like the person who is resolute in a kusala way because of panya? At that moment, the citta is accompanied by other sopana citta-sika, very strong, and the person who is resolute in the akusala way also is very strong at that moment?
From the lives of Bodhisattva.
A message from Nina. She just asked if I could give a summary on Kanti Jnana. So first of all, Ajahn mentioned that Virya follows, Kanti follows whenever it is an appreciation or an understanding of the right teaching. So when there is understanding of the right teaching, Adhitana Parami is there too. It's resolute. It knows that it is the right teaching at that moment, and Kanti is there, which can listen and appreciate it, not try some other way or try to find body sense, for example. And then I asked a question about Kanti Jnana, and Ajahn was referring to how this is the Kanti, the patient. Kanti means patience. The patience which has been firmly developed and is of the degree that it just arises, it just refers to the Kanti that arises with Vipassana Jnana from the third Vipassana Jnana, Samasana Vipassana Jnana, up to Udaya Bhayana Vipassana Jnana. That's the first one. And the second one is from Udaya Bhayana up to Sankarupeka Jnana. And the third one, which is the highest and strongest of all, is from Sankarupeka Jnana, which is a very high level of Vipassana Jnana, up to Anuloma Vipassana Jnana, which is the change of lineage just before enlightenment. So it just refers to these Vipassana Jnanas at those degrees. So, but Kanti has to develop even now with understanding and Adhitana resolution as well. So I think it's not a matter of
having resolution to listen and understand the teachings, but when there is understanding, Kunti has to be there, Aditana has to be there at those moments, otherwise understanding cannot develop.
Yes. Because there was so much information and very hard to follow it all, and I know that when you get discouraged, it's clinging to self. But when I hear all this, I feel a little bit discouraged, you see.
So, Aditana, resolution?
Resolution.
Keep on going.
But how, when you say it like that, then it's almost like we're supposed to think a particular way about all this, but... But is resolution thinking a particular way about...
Why do you listen to the teachings?
Understand.
Yeah, that is resolution. A little bit.
It's not about the names or terms or labels, but at this moment, there wouldn't be listening to what we hear about sound now or visible object if there wasn't Kunti at this very moment, if there wasn't resolution at this very moment, there wouldn't be that listening. And then a few minutes later, this feeling of discouragement. Well, it's just another dharma, just thinking with dosa and then gone already. So just different dharmas, and this is the natural way. So it's not a measure of just having understanding or just trying to know this, but just whatever appears, never mind if it's disappointment or discouragement or panya or whatever appears now.
So it means that even though there's discouragement, there has been accumulated aditana. That's why, in spite of the discouragement, you're still listening.
Yes.
And then Ajahn asked just a few minutes ago, is there development now? And then I feel lost. Is there development now? I feel a bit lost.
Actually, even now, even reflecting that it's just visible object seen now, it is now. So it's just coming back to what appears now. Yeah. And then, okay, thinking about lost or it's just different kinds of thinking. Very natural.
Yeah, but it's difficult to know what is appearing now. I find it difficult. It's clinging again, I know.
Because it's not right understanding.
Yeah. Not enough panya.
Ignorance cannot understand. Yeah. And at that moment of being discouraged, you add more attachment to the idea of self.
More attachment.
It's wanting to know, wanting to catch again. That's why it's disappointing, because it's thinking of, I would like to know more, and it's, I would like to understand. So it's trying to get it rather than just developing understanding of Kunti at that very moment.
I remember the nun, one of the nuns in Vietnam, she once told me that before, when she was practicing meditation, there were a lot of expectation trying to get result and hoping that one day in this very life, maybe vipassana jnana or enlightenment occur. And after hearing to Ajahn, she understands that it's a very long way of development. So there's not that expectation anymore, and she knows that maybe many, many, many lifetimes will need to continue, but she doesn't feel discouraged as before. She said before, sometimes discouraged, sometimes excited, but once she got the understanding, no more discouragement.
So earlier you were saying about attachment being like space between the kalapas, but it seems the attachment to self is bigger space than...
It should be eradicated before others, because when there's still the idea of self, there must be all kinds of kilesa.
Did you mention the word creative just now in the context of the Vipassana yanas?
I have creative. I have jotted down very quickly creative with a question mark, and then the next phrase was something in the way of Sankha Rupeka Yana. But I don't know where that, because that piqued my interest. It's not a word I hear often. I wonder, probably in one of those
talking about the highest Kanti Jnana from Sankarupeka Jnana to Anuloma Jnana, the change of lineage. No, I don't think anyone said creative.
Much later. The creative, because her hand is not as fast as the mouth. So that was a couple of phrases before Sankarupeka Jnana, which is the highest level of the next, yes.
Anyway, it won't be significant.
I find the example of the Vietnamese nun a very good example, just by listening, and then she had less expectations. It's a very, very nice, very good.
And even when she's surrounded by other people following wrong practice who don't appreciate the value of just listening, considering, developing understanding, but when the understanding is firmer and firmer and there's more and more Kanti with that understanding, it doesn't matter what other people think or say or how they behave, because that understanding is firm and there is resolution, there's aditana, no swaying or moving away from the right path. And that is the development of Pariyatti up to Satchanyana, when it's really firm confidence that no doubt about what is the right way, no moving away.
And that was the same person who spoke that we heard speaking so well, the same nun, I think, yeah, who spoke so very well.
Understand even intellectually that any problem that we might face is just akusala citta in life. We have dosa towards this, or we find this troublesome, that troublesome, is just akusala citta.
Never the person or the situation. The problem is always the citta. I said the problem is never the other person or the situation. The problem is always the akusala citta at this moment, the attachment, the aversion, the ignorance now. But usually there's always thinking and dwelling on the story about this and that person or situation and not appreciating. The problem always comes back to akusala citta now.
Any I or Dhamma?
Well,
between the two, all the time.
There is a problem, it's because of I.
Yeah.
So, but in reality we know there's no I, just so, Dhammas.
So it depends on understanding whether it's I or Dhamma, that's all.
Right.
Like when it's other problems, no problem.
I have problem now. May I stand and change my position?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. This chair is not going.
Yeah. No, just I better stand up.
A sutta for the Vietnamese who in Sri Lanka were asking about what the problem was with monks socializing with lay people. You remember we had that discussion, and just after I got back to Hong Kong, someone posted a sutta on Dharma Study Group, which you may have missed. I know Jan was talking about the problem with the danger of monks socializing with lay people and the dangers of going to hell if rules were broken. And here the sutta, the Bijara Sutta,
it was a
Bijara. Bijara Sutta and Samyutta. At Sarvati, now on that occasion, a certain bhikkhu was socializing with families excessively. The other bhikkhus told him, the Venerable One should not socialize with families excessively, but though he was admonished by them, he did not desist. Then a number of bhikkhus approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and reported this matter to the Blessed One. The Blessed One said, Bhikkhus, once in the past, a cat stood by an alley or a drain or a rubbish bin, watching for a little mouse, thinking, when this little mouse comes out for food, right there I will grab it and eat it. Then the mouse came out for food, and the cat grabbed it and swallowed it hastily without chewing it. Then that little mouse ate the cat's intestines and mesentery, and on that account the cat met with death and deadly suffering. So too, bhikkhus, here some bhikkhu dresses in the morning, taking bowl and robe, enters a village or town for alms with body, speech, and mind unguarded, and without setting up mindfulness, unrestrained in his sense faculties. He sees women there, lightly clad or lightly attired, and lust invades his mind. With his mind invaded by lust, he meets death or deadly suffering. For this bhikkhus is death in the Noble One's discipline. That one gives up the training and returns to the lower life. This is deadly suffering, that one commits a certain defiled offense of a kind that allows for rehabilitation. Therefore, bhikkhus, you should train yourselves thus. We will enter a village or town for alms with body, speech, and mind guarded, with mindfulness set up, restrained in our sense faculties. Thus should you train yourselves. Well, so I thought of you. Of course, when it talks about guarding, it's referring to development of sati and satipatthana. But the point of the discussion we had in Sri Lanka was about whether, for example, arranging discussions in holiday-type locations, whether it was suitable to invite monks and this kind of thing. And the discussion was about how it's not appropriate for monks to mix with lay people in those sorts of situations. So I thought it was just a little bit relevant.
Yeah, this is what my son says.
As well, sorry. This is what my son says. When I first invited him to come here, he said that my son is a monk. And when I first invited him to come here, he said it's not appropriate for the monks to be learning with lay people. And I never understood that. I always saw that as being a kind of mana, that maybe the monks are practicing. But actually, when you really think about it, it's not mana at all, because their life is a totally different life than we are. Although, of course, they're subject to all the same dosa and gilesa as we are. But still, they're on a different plane or whatever. Different area, you know, different arena, you want to call it that, so that they feel they need to study separately from us. And also, when they are with lay people, there is, from their point of view, I guess, there is they're distracted by lay people.
Yeah,
something.
What about if in a place one understands that there is Dhamma?
Right, exactly.
Discussed.
This is what I've, you know, if there is Dhamma, why should it be different from, well, a monk or a lay person? Exactly.
Right.
A Dhamma is a Dhamma.
In your son's case, he has yet to appreciate that this is
That's
Dhamma.
That's right. Yeah, I agree.
But
with
for
you.
A monk who has heard and he comes to hear the Dhamma,
yeah,
that should be okay, isn't it?
I should think so, yeah. That's the way I feel. But yeah, that's
a special seating arranged. When the bhikkhu would seat, we have had it before, that the bhikkhu attended a meeting with us, but they are in a special corner, separate, not so mixed.
it would be appropriate, maybe.
As I recall, there are quite a few monks' rules about the circumstances in which they may hear Dhamma from a layperson. Oh, about the seat, the height of the seat, and the wearing of shoes, and that goes on and on. Having said that, if the monk knows the rules, then he's able to comply with them. So I don't suppose that was the reason that your son had in mind.
The point that we were discussing in Sri Lanka, which made me think of it when I read this sutta, was when making arrangements, like to make arrangements so as many people as possible can hear and listen to what one knows is so valuable, but in certain circumstances, like we're not talking about, for example, coming here or a discussion in a temple, but for example, if one was in a hillside resort or a beachside place where people are relaxed and having fun, then it's not an appropriate place for a monk to come because there's so many other activities and it's too much close associating with lay people.
And the person who arranged for such discussions, knowing that a monk would come, would not arrange it on a beach, right?
Sarah mentioned the beach because last time you happened to have a discussions near the beach. And that's why we also, it was interesting for us to hear about that. And I think it helped us to know what is the better arrangement for the next time.
Everyone has to know what times or what occasions, from the layperson's point of view, it's appropriate to invite a monk. Like I would... I've invited before monks to come here, but I wouldn't invite a monk to go to Nakhon Nayok or Gangrajan because I wouldn't consider that as appropriate. So.
Because we are so used to see the monks nowadays socializing with other people, and we didn't think about it, you know. We just thought that it is beneficial for any person, monks or lay people, to hear the Dhamma. So we didn't think much about that. So that was good to know more. The other day I asked a question, but because I wasn't sure I understood the answer, so may I ask again?
Please.
It was about the four predominance condition of chanda, virya, and citta, and panya. Is it only applied when there is great and difficult task or in any situation?
If I just reach my hand out, is it itipata?
No.
So it's not ordinary daily task.
But listening to the Dhamma, sometimes it can be led by
until one
chanda.
Reach what? Until it reach what degree?
So when talking about the Pachaya, it's actually about Adipati, yeah, or Idipada. Because I'm talking about only about the Adipati. Not the
I think that we would like to find out the word more than the reality. For example, we try to find out whether it's what level, right? If 100 people carry a long, long pillar, and it's up, who did that? Who does that? One or two or 100 together? So how can you say this one or that one or this one? So I think that since the reality is right now and no understanding of it as reality, but we'd like to understand different stages of citta and citta-sikas, which is not there. For example, sammasati. It's not the self who is trying very hard and take it for itipata or whatever the word, but actually it's not the understanding of all dhammas are anatta. Seeing sees already. And when we talk about paccaya, we'd like to know what paccayas are there at moment of seeing, not knowing that seeing is not I, it's only the reality which arises to see, or an element. If this understanding is not developed enough, it's only talking, dreaming about different levels, different classes of citta and cetasikas, itipata or different paccaya. But why do we listen? In order to know that actually Buddha taught us to really have firm understanding, well established, about the satya. It is like this, and it needs not the self who tries, but the panya developed to eliminate gradually the clinging to the whatever appears. So it's not a matter of trying to find out whether this now is itipata or atipati or what. That is learning about the names, not understanding that which is not self.
Because I was listening to that part of the thing, but just a little bit on the YouTube, and I was also surprised because you raised, you suggested that the atipati, the four, they arise only when there's understanding or when it's kusala, and I was a bit surprised by that.
Is there any itipata paccaya?
Atipati.
But my question is there any itipata?
Not from what See? I remember.
So if we can understand reality like citta as different cetas paccaya, and one cetasika, each one can be what paccaya. But it may be not now, right at this moment, it's not paccaya of that degree yet, but it would be when it develops.
So these four, atipati, paccaya, they must arise together? You were talking about the lifting up the pillar. That is something.
How many are there?
Four. Chitta.
What are there?
Panya.
That's panya always arise.
So, for example, chetana arises at every moment. Virya arises at almost every moment. But normally, it's not predominant or strong in that way. So, of course, chetana and virya and citta always arise together, and chanda usually, virya, panya, and chetana, right?
No,
citta. Oh, citta, right. So of course they arise together, but the question is, when is it predominant? Like, for example, if there's really keen understanding of reality or keen interest, then chanda is predominant, or sometimes virya is predominant. So, and the same at other on other occasions too, but one can't just say whenever they arise or.
So they must arise together.
Well, virya, whenever the chanda arises, virya is there, citta is there.
And panya. So only when panya arises is there atipati paccaya. Not always, but atipati paccaya can only arise when there is panya.
I don't think
no?
so.
No.
Because chanda can be predominant or very
even
predominant.
Even when it's kusla, akusla, right?
When it's, I think so. Yes.
So atipati,
yes. Sancha,
so it doesn't
right,
need panya.
Right, because that's what I heard and I thought.
So yeah. When panya arises, chanda must be there, virya must be there, citta must be there, but you can't say whenever chanda arises, panya is there, because akusala chanda too.
So it
can be predominant.
So akusala,
well.
Yeah, it can be. Okay, that answers.
Even it said that the Atipati Pajaya arises with the citta with two hetus. It doesn't mean that always arise as Atipati. So no need to think about whether this moment it is Atipati or not. It's there, but not necessary to be Atipati. But it can be when, that's when it's time for it to be.
What is the significance of Atipati?
To see that people are different. Each citta, each moment is different. Do you like coffee? Or do you like tea? Or do you like mango juice? There is attachment, but it depends on chanda to be mango juice or tea or coffee. That is chanda, but there is attachment, lobha. So chanda arises with lobha, and it also arises with dosa. But what about it, this moment?
It's not knowledge.
So it's only story about whatever is now.
John, for clarification, in the moment, understanding it is not known. It is only after it has fallen away that the understanding arises, because it's one at a time.
As nimitta, always nimitta. Only single one cannot be known. How quick it is. So only nimitta of seeing, nimitta of hearing, many processes, nimitta of everything. So many, that there are many people and many things here. So how fast citta arising and falling away.
So hearing hears sound.
Yes. But not the same sound that is said.
And then later, many chetasikas later, reflexive thinking, understanding arises.
Chetasika arises with citta. Depending on what citta and how many cetasika can arise with a certain citta.
So many cittas and cetasikas later arising after sound is heard, reflexive thinking, then understanding.
In split seconds.
So many things within.
That's why it's impossible to say, what are you thinking about now? See?
No answer.
Gone. Completely.
Thank you.
But the hearing of sound is followed immediately by mind or processes, by mind or moments of consciousness. So those that follow very soon after the actual moment of hearing, they can experience the nimitta of the sound. Nimitta here meaning, we discussed many what meanings of nimitta, but this is the like the after image, and the thinking about the meaning of the sound would be later moments. So we distinguish between the mind or moments that follow very short immediately after the sensed or object is experienced, and those that follow much later, which cannot experience the sound or its nimitta, but just think about with memory.
Yes, precisely, because it's gone, never to return again, and only the nimitta, there's that, the sankhya, sanya,
marking.
Yes, thank you.
John, you just answered the question I wanted to ask Sarah, because in Nakarna Yog Sarah, you talking about there wouldn't be experience of concepts if there was no experience of nimitta. And I've never thought about it that way. But John just answered that the mind door following the sense door experiences nimitta.
If there was no reality such as sound or visible object experience, there couldn't be the experiencing of nimitta of that reality, and if there wasn't the experiencing of the nimitta of that reality, there couldn't be the experiencing of the panyati, the impression or idea of it, and if there wasn't the experiencing of panyati, which even an animal experiences countless times at a moment, then there couldn't be the idea of glass or cup or smoothie.
Maybe this is the point you asked about create. It built up from the succession of the arising and falling away of just a moment of experiencing an object until so many people are in this room. This is what she create or something like that?
I don't think we use the word create.
I see. Build up? Or form up? Or what?
No, it was quite a ways early on, maybe around two, three. When you were talking, let's see, the hand moves much slower than the words. What I'm drawing down was, after somewhere after dukkha, then there was creative with a question mark when I heard that, and then there was sankha rupeka yana, but that's a high level, and so a few phrases prior to that, something on the verge of creative I heard at this corner of the table there. So, it's not important.
Do you get the points about adipati, pachaya?
Can we say what adipati is now? There is chanda.
Yeah, I was going to
say chanda. That's real interest in hearing.
But
even so, it's clear that even just by thinking that chanda is here because of such interest to hear what is said, it doesn't matter if you say it's as adipati, but there is the chanda is stronger than at other times, just like if you're particularly interested in the food, there is chanda, real interest to know about that kind of food.
Punya.
And other times you may feel very tired or sick but still listening, and the virya is strong, otherwise you just fall asleep.
Chanda of warm water, see? So there's chanda. So we have to know how many jithas have chanda arising.
That is the reason why I asked the question, because I read in the book that it talks about the great and difficult task, but it seemed to me that even in situation of daily life, at certain moment chanda is stronger than other things, and virya sometimes is more apparent.
But chanda has many levels too. Just wanting warm water is not as chanda as to read or write Dhamma.
Right. Even like speaking up in a discussions like this, for some person it's chanda, and for other person it might take virya,
just like,
right?
What you like, this is chanda. What is your chanda?
Maturation.
What is your chanda?
At this moment.
What is chanda? Different.
Wish to do?
Yeah, different all the time.
Volition?
Depending on citta. What citta can have chanda and what citta cannot have chanda. So the ahetuka cittas do not have chanda at all. Moha doesn't have chanda. It does know. But for lopa mula citta, dosa mula citta, there's chanda. Depending on whether it is adipati or not.
Interest. Like
in moha.
Interest in this drink rather than that one.
So chanda doesn't arise in the moha mula citta.
And it can arise with kusala or akusala cittas. Like interest in the food or interest in the dharma topic, like interest in the meaning of chanda. That is chanda.
And so we talk about chanda, virya, and
citta.
But citta is a bit hard to understand when it's adhikati.
That's why we have to know how many cittas chanda arises with.
But when we're talking about adhipati vachaya, only one can be, out of the four, only one can be at a time. So
not
what
together.
Is citta? Adhipati, when citta is adhipati?
When there is no janda, viriya and panya.
Anything else? Yeah. Anything else predominating?
Yeah. Do you like, do you have chanda to sit on this chair? See? Chanda. Not the other chair.
I think in the book it is said that citta, which is adhipati, when it's very, like it's accumulated, like someone who is doing generosity very often, then they just do it, so it's like the citta, it's accumulated for that kind of thing.
But when coming back to citta, what type of citta? See, when we know we can see different the moments with the degree.
But just on that, seems to me that if the tendency for something has been accumulated, then there would be viriya and chanda for that thing or action. So I don't quite follow how it doesn't help me understand about citta.
Something more like habitual, right? Habitual.
It's more
predominant. When I have,
you can see Azita's chanda making a little holder for the cough sweets.
When I have to write, it is viriya, not chanda, not citta at all. I don't like writing at all. When any time I have to write, it takes really, yeah. So I can see viriyadhipati at that moment. It's more than chanda or other jetasikas. For Kunina, she writes to write, see?
Chanda.
When she has to sit through a long discussion and she's not feeling well, viriya. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so difficult.
Ask Ajahn, would you come another time to teach the Dharma in Vietnam? She said yes, and that would be citta. Because she saw
chanda and
chanda
panya.
And panya.
Yeah. To see the value, the advantages, the benefit of helping the others. More than viriya. I don't need viriya to go to Vietnam. But it's there, but not a tipati, see. Or here, or anywhere.
And you're not feeling well, there might be some viriya.
Maybe great viriya. Who knows?
Our last trip, because I was so sick beforehand, it was viriya at the end. Yeah.
And in Vietnam, I have pain, so it's viriya too.
Like why metta cannot be adhipati?
It's always there. All the time, not up and down.
Can you say more? Metta.
Depending on whenever it arises, it's there. But when you take patience in something, take pain doing something, you see? It's different from you do ordinary. But that is attachment, for sure. To know, not to understand, whatever appears now, it's there all the time.
And in any case, just different moments, different cheetahs, and otherwise it's like looking for it again and trying to find out.
For further clarification, virya is something akin to persistence in the face of difficulty or endurance?
Effort. Energy. And it arises at almost every moment. Moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. There's no effort, but at almost every other moment there is virya, so kusala, akusala, vipaka, or kiriya, virya.
Including the feeling lazy.
That sounds really odd, to be have virya when you're lazy or sleeping. But when you think that virya arises with lots of jitters, it only doesn't arise with the sixth sense, sense door.
So when we consider that virya arises even when we feel sleepy, it indicates how much we are attached to the self, because we think that when we want to do something, we try to do something, then there is virya, because we just think that it's I and virya, but we don't have any idea of the reality of virya.
At that time, you just think about it? At that time, do you think about it, virya?
At the sleepiness moment, or what time?
Now, do you think about virya?
We've been discussing about this.
Yes, virya. And now do you think about virya?
Now? No.
Just 16 ahechika cheetahs, it doesn't arise.
The 16 are the 10, plus the tsampatichanas and...
All ahechika cheetahs, with the exception of two, which are the smiling consciousness of the arahat, and also... Manodvara Vajana Cheetah is the other one, but every other Ahechika Cheetah.
So it doesn't arise with Manodvara Vajana.
Yes. It does. That's why I mentioned it. So even at moments of Bhavanga Cheetah, it's very...
A question arises which may be more than frivolous and beneficial to understanding. How is it that Ajahn came to teach? Was this known? Was this a factor or something that had arisen early on in life, or a natural unfolding process?
How did you come to teach, Nama?
By accumulation. Anatta, not I, but the accumulations for whatever arises.
So to put it...
I haven't planned before when I was young. Never. Usually, actually, I know that I am a shy person. But I have to do.
So lots of
video. I don't know, maybe no one at all. If there would be some or more or two, I might not do it at all. But it depends on accumulation. So there can be more understanding of Dhamma as not self each moment.
What we take for Jhan are really just cheetahs, cheetah seekers, and rupas, and each of those cheetahs, each of those cheetah seekers is conditioned. Kusala, akusala, accumulations, each moment conditioned.
So this group of being concepts has Ajahn as vehicle for teaching Dhamma, or
That's the idea. That's the thinking about the idea. It's not the reality. actually at this moment just sounds heard, and thinking wisely or unwisely about those sounds heard.
So I think what you hear here, what's encouraged is to understand realities as against concepts. So you listen to understand reality and not just think in terms of, oh, I'm here listening to Achan, or Achan is a great teacher. The thing is, she's teaching about reality, to understand reality, that there is no self. There's no me, there's no you, there's no Achan.
Therefore, in this
Achan
way,
is not a great teacher.
Arising.
Just good friend.
Arising and passing away, but in this way, some understanding develop. Understanding, yes. Understanding arises.
There's a conventional story for each of us behind our interest in the Dhamma and how we came to be here in particular. And you've got one about meeting Sundar in the internet cafe and so forth. And there's also one about how Achan came to be teacher. But the real cause or reason is nothing to do with the conventional story, right? It's to do with the Dhammas the Buddha taught about, and the accumulated tendencies, and karma, past deeds and result, bearing fruit in this lifetime.
So conditions were such that...
Yes.
And this is the way, by
understanding the realities, to have less attachment to someone or a great teacher or other beings, by understanding and appreciating more about Dhammas, each one conditioned. And that's perhaps why I'm not going to say why, question arises. I leave for Cambodia soon, so it's... attachment there was moments of attachment.
And what about the atipati? Say what atipati? Kuntam?
In what? For what? For her? Mm-hmm. Asking the question?
No. What are you going to do?
One hears the story and one thinks she has the interest to go, but actually, as she was explaining, she needs to get a new visa, so it may not be because of any chanta at all.
Yeah.
So we don't know when we hear we don't
not
know
complete,
about the others.
Not the whole story.
No. Thai immigration.
But actually, the main point is that when you just mentioned attachment, at that moment there could have been understanding with Virya.
The best thing to understand reality is at Tattu, elements, that's all. All are elements, no Dhamma.
What we take for a Jhana or anyone, actually just different elements seen, heard, thought about, it helps a lot, because this is the way that understanding with detachment rather than attachment develops. Otherwise it's just thinking about people and places with attachment as usual, but understanding more about realities, just different elements, is the way to develop more detachment from what is experienced at this moment.
And whatever arises falls away. Nothing's left. Completely. Absolutely. Only a moment in samsara.
Only for a moment in samsara.
Right.
Only for a moment in this realm.
Samsara. Yes. A moment of touching, a moment of hardness in samsara. a moment of attachment, a moment of aversion, never to arise again.
But also, if there's understanding for a moment,
right,
it's accumulated, it's never lost.
And what is known or can be known is only this moment. You haven't thought before that you'll be here. But accumulation and conditions are there, ready to condition any, whatever appears to arise. No selection.
This is the past moment of the future, and the past was... How did you say that? This was the past moment of the... Now is the past moment of the future. And
the present moment is the future of the past.
Is the future of the past.
So there's no attachment because it's gone completely when Panya is there. So only Panya can understand the truth.
So unnecessary.
Yes. Nothing is left, so we cling to that which is no more. Just dream about, remember, only that.
So it's useless to try to understand or do anything, because it's gone, gone and gone.
And this life will be the past life of the next life so very soon. So yes, the chitta is the death chitta, followed immediately by the rebirth chitta, moment to moment, life to life. Yes,
unknown yet. But this is known, while last life hadn't known this at all.
Just now.
As we discussed.
So life after life, moments of seeing, hearing, attachment, ignorance. So the only thing that's of any value actually is development of understanding, because everything, everyone one holds dear in this life will be completely forgotten by the time the patisandhi of the next life arises. So if no understanding is accumulated in this life, no purpose or value.
And understanding accumulates over eons, however many eons it takes, moments it takes.
Making it sound easy. Yes, this moment falls away, never to arise, but there's still the attachment, there's still the idea that it's me doing this, me doing that,
yeah,
me got pain, yeah, me got whatever.
Because not understanding that which appears.
Right, we talk about, this goes, this is gone, never to arise, but that's
it's
extremely
true.
Difficult to...
Right.
Experience.
Then you know who's the Buddha. The only way to understand him, his wisdom.
Can you say a bit more about the asavas? I'm a bit confused by asavas. Anusayas, latent tendencies, they're all similar, but they all...
While one asleep, do you like or dislike something or anything?
I don't think so.
And as soon as you wake up, there's like or dislike.
Oh.
After seeing, hearing, how come if there's no anusaya, the latent tendency, at moment of attachment, it's gone. Completely, but that which has arisen in that citta pass on. to the next citta, on and on and on, and that is anusaya. It's there. So the enlightenment eradicates the anusaya, so nothing can arise anymore, because whatever arises after experiences any object through six doorways because of anusaya condition.
The anusaya, the asavas are all
akusala? While one is fast asleep, no. No akusala. Or is there akusala?
While
one is fast asleep, no akusala.
No akusala.
Is there akusala?
No.
No, no must be no. No akusala, no akusa, but the accumulations are there in each moment, ready to arise.
And so what are we using? What is the latent tendency?
They're the asavas. Anusaya. Anusaya. And then you can also talk about the akusala. They're all akusala tendencies, the anusaya, which are eradicated stage by stage of enlightenment. And you can also talk about, or the texts also talk about asya anusya, referring to all latent tendencies, not just akusala ones, but anusya are akusala tendencies, and they condition asavas to arise, the subtle kinds of attachment, ignorance and wrong view as soon as there is seeing or hearing. And they condition stronger kinds of attachment and unwholesomeness at other moments, like when one's angry, that is strong akusala, but all conditioned by, because those anusya, the latent tendencies, haven't been eradicated. So even if someone seems very calm and quiet and nice, and but still the anusyas are there for any kind of akusala to arise when there are conditions, because they haven't been eradicated yet.
And I think this is
where I, you know, I was just saying before that, yes, they fall away, but it's all being accumulated.
Each moment,
each
of kusala and akusala.
It's fallen away,
yeah.
But that, mm-hmm. that
it's there already.
Akusala or kusala
yeah.
Yeah. Is accumulated.
That's why
I say anusya. Carry are the all tendencies which are accumulated from moment to moment, carried with each citta, never lost.
John, with right understanding, said patipati, if not pariyati, the latent tendencies lessened with each moment of right understanding?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not eradicated until the enlightenment.
Okay. No, because it would sound too fantastic to think that enlightenment just somehow eradicates everything in one shot.
Not everything. Stage by stage. So you can see the great compassion of the Buddha. He taught us to understand the great accumulation of tendencies. After seeing consciousness only 3 moments, then kilesa arises, ooze immediately, because it's the very, very impact that it can arise just then. 3 moments after seeing sampatichana, santirana, votapana, and then kamasava. Who knows? While the rupa hasn't fallen away yet, it's now. Asava all the time. That's why another word for arahata is kinasava. Kina is what? Mm-hmm. And asava. When it's destroyed, anusya is destroyed.
So the anusya.
Two anusya eradicated at stage of sotapanna, vichikicca, doubt, and ditti, and then sakadagami reduced, and then anagami, attachment to sense objects, and patiga, which is aversion, and then the arahat, the last three
anusya, eradicated, which is clinging to becoming, mana and moha. That's three.
Seven.
Only two and seven. Vichikichya and ditti. Because these are like the seven bases for all other kinds of akusala, so other kinds of akusala arise because of the seven anusya.
What's the word once again? If there's no
ditti, no macharya, yeah. Which was the. Sia means latent tendencies, so the latent tendencies of defilements that condition defilements to arise after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and while thinking. They condition the asavas, the subtle attachments, to arise, which are the subtle clinging to sense objects, the clinging to being, the ditasva, wrong view, the ignorance.
The asavas, as I understand it, are not apparent. So they are arising, they're no longer latent, arising, but not apparent, because just arising but not strongly enough to be known.
Countless times even now arising.
So what are they called when they
are known? Then they become the ogres, the yolks and the floods. But it doesn't matter, it just means they're getting stronger.
When talking about kamasava, can it include also dosa, like it's like not only detachment,
just attachment to sense objects. So because this is the intoxicants, the ooze out, so it's just referring to the only three chetasikas involved are lobha, avijja and ditti.
Is that possible, like right after in the first sense door, that dosa arises?
Even in the first sense door
process, but yeah. Just it's not referred to as asava, but
okay.
Like the sound of thunder can be aversion instantly.
But without ignorance and attachment?
No aversion.
I can't believe how many times I've heard this, but it's not there. I need to hear again and again and again.
What you don't remember is just the names, but the notion of these tendencies that are present in very mild doses all the time, that's easy to understand, isn't it? Not difficult to understand.
It's not that easy either.
Subtle attachment arising immediately all the time, and
yes,
not apparent to us. Yeah.
And why is there the strong
attachment? Because there is the subtle attachment which is always accumulating and conditioning it. And why is there subtle attachment? Because there is that latent tendency not yet eradicated, and it has to be carried with each titta in order to condition the attachment to arise. So it's really just actually what we already know about dharmas being conditioned. So it's just another way of explaining how and why different dharmas arise, that's all.
I think if you think about the process of aging, which means unpleasant bodily sensation all over again and again, although you're not thinking about it all the time, while you're doing something, it's happening. And there must be dosa, a lot of dosa, towards different sensation, change of posture, and all that. There must be a lot of dosa.
Or attachment?
And attachment together.
Or.
Or.
Yeah.
Difficulty to walk. Dosa is implied because of the attachment to that which doesn't last an instant, so it's...
Just because dosa is not mentioned among the asavas, it doesn't mean there can't be very subtle dosa a lot of the time, too.
More than very little. Lesser than that, the asava.
For dosa, I don't think of anger or something, but more like fear, that I'm afraid to fall down or something when I one step or another step. So it's a very good reminder that that's
quite good. How can you understand that which arises after seeing only three moments of citta? After that, see? You think about difficult to walk. Mm-hmm. But seeing, hearing, smelling, asava is there already.
Also asava already. Yeah.
Yeah, but what is known is not asava. Yeah.
By the time one has any idea
of mild irritation, it's so many mind or processes later, so much thinking, it's not the asava at all after seeing or hearing.
It's really not anger or irritation, it's more fear.
Yes, but the point is by the
time that is known, it's not asava, it's nivarana, it's strong akusala at that point, yes.
Because even at that moment, there is seeing an asava, unknown.
Unknown.
Unknown asava, because there is seeing, so there must be asava before the rupa falls away. Resolution and satya of paramis.
Better to know that than to be ignorant of it. Better to know that than to think there's not much akusala.
And you see how panya develops. If it does not arise, how can there be moments of understanding, seeing, hearing, thinking, very far apart, because so many jittas and akusala is there already. So while there is right understanding, the panya gets closer and closer to the unknown object. We cannot see moments of dosa, or very mild dosa, or whatever, when it's not as strong, but it's there. But when there is more right understanding, more awareness, realities appear more than usual. Otherwise, how can it know seeing before thinking? They are separate. They're not the same kind of Dhamma. See? So panya gets closer and closer to understand whatever is not being object of awareness now. In order, by this way, asava can be eradicated.
And I think we can see that how panya must arise to know all realities before getting closer.
Naturally.
Let's see. Seeing, say, sense object, this visible object impinges on eye sense, interrupting the bhavanga of continue. Is there not dosa there, aversion that this is interrupted? No.
Bhavanga does not experience any object of this world.
So it is attachment only. Not yet. Is there any dosa in there in that process?
Kusala citta cannot arise. Kusala citta cannot arise. Only vipaka and kriya can be bhavanga.
And then in the sense door
process, the idol process, the first citta is averting to that object. Still no attachment or aversion, and then a moment of seeing, vipaka, no dosa or lobha, no akusala, and then two more
result, cheetahs, the result of karma, no lobha or dosa, and then one inoperative cheetah, no lobha or dosa, and only after that, in that sense door process, seven cheetahs that can be rooted in moha, lobha or dosa. And this is when we are referring to how asavas can arise even at that moment. And then more bhavanga cittas, and then mind or process, and more lobha and dosa, lobha or dosa arising.
But then I'm concentrating so much on each step not to fall down, and then there's so much forgetfulness of reality.
Not only that, because moha mulicitta arise before the visible object falls away, or the sound before it falls away, moha mulicitta is there. That's why you don't know, or you don't think that you don't experience anything, but you concentrate on when the step where you walk. But there must be citta in process all the time.
But I don't think it's just you, Nina. I think everyone is the same. Like, you might be concentrating on where you're stepping, and I might be up here looking at the birds and the trees, and somebody else is doing something else. So I think it's just the way we are.
And it is this moment, what is there in the process of seeing, see, moha mulicitta. Or lobha mulicitta.
In the process of seeing.
Only 3 moments after seeing.
Yeah, there is moha.
Or lobha.
Yes.
As asava.
Concentrating on steps, but even now, after seeing instantly moha and lobha, right now.
Concentrating on words or the meaning.
Just not knowing anything. Uncountable.
Yes, good reminders, very good.
So when people think, oh, it's just a lot of kusala cheetahs in a Dharma discussion or going to the temple, it shows no understanding of realities now, because cannot be like that, bound to be, after seeing and hearing countless moments of ignorance and attachment.
You concentrate on what you see, and in between, lots of moha, also.
But even those moments of concentration can be understood if there are enough conditions, right? You said that because we concentrate on this or that, but even that at that moment there can be conditions for right understanding to arise if it's the right time, right?
Panya can understand anything.
I think it's becoming...
Yes,
leave it to Panya.
Lila, it's becoming clearer how attached to the body we are.
See you at Kankajan.